Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 25th, 2023. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, what does Shavuot signify? Shavuot signifies the day of the giving of the Torah, which is the greatest event that could ever occur. Why is it the greatest ever event? It marks a state where certain people who lived their usual lives, unknowing of why they were alive, received instructions, a method, on how to live optimally in our world, how to discover who they truly were, and that if they so wished, they could exit the narrow framework of feeling this world in their five bodily senses, expanding their perception and sensation to feel a new world. They called method that they received the Torah. Through this method, they could discover a much richer and wider reality, the eternal reality, which they could connect with and feel. That is what the Torah gives us. It is a method for expanding our perception, and which lets us discover the true reality where forces of love, bestowal and connection dwell in addition to the narrow reality we perceive in our five corporeal senses. Shavuot is thus a very special holiday. It marks a differentiation of us, living as animals in this world to becoming human beings in the fullest sense of the term, that is, those who exit their feeling of this narrow and transient world and enter the attainment of a true, eternal and perfect reality beyond the bodily senses. We should thus respect this holiday and try to reach what those who have attained those states, Kabbalists, tell us about it, that it is a state of connection as one man with one heart, of mutual support and understanding, with love and care for one another, and where we feel ourselves existing in one heart. Even though we each initially live in our egoistic qualities, where we play host to many divisive thoughts, desires, decisions and opinions that resist the state of our complete connection to each other, by using the method of the Torah, the method of how to connect to the force of the upper nature that influences and changes us, we can rise from our egoistic level to one of eternity and perfection. If we had not received the method of connection called the Torah, then we would have become completely divided, and we would have had no opportunity to understand the quality of love, bestowal and connection. We would have remained like animals in this world. Thanks to various unique individuals who implemented this method on themselves, we can access and apply the same method on ourselves. When we do so, we develop a sense for feeling the quality of love, bestowal and connection. We then come to feel that there is a special force that vitalizes and illuminates the connection between us. All people host this sense, but some feel it more than others, and the method we received on Shavuot lets us develop it until we feel attracted to connecting as one man with one heart. Moreover, those who develop this sense influence its awakening in others, and as such, more and more people increasingly draw toward it. What is this sense? Generally speaking, it is a sense of love. If we hold ourselves in an inclination to reach a common love for one another, then we undergo several states of feeling our disconnection, with disregard and disrespect for each other, until we discover the force of love, bestowal and connection that unites us, upon those states. We then become a new nation based on a common desire to connect in love above our divisive qualities, that is, a nation that was previously non-existent in a natural and biological way. It is my hope that we indeed develop this sense of love, bestowal and connection using the method of connection that we received, and that we come to achieve this new sense sooner rather than later. When we do so, we will feel a new inclusive, eternal and perfect reality open up to us, a sensation of harmony and peace that we cannot even imagine in our current earthly senses. In a single system. Question: do you, as a Kabbalist, take people's material situation into consideration? Answer: of course I do. I have to consider them with love and empathy like a mother toward a child, and only with the understanding of what is for his benefit rather than what he wants himself. For this, a certain spiritual maturation must take place in a person. I do not turn to my baby and do what he wants. I do what is best for him, maybe even against his will. Question: but you feel people much more than many of your students. Although you say you do not understand the level they talk about, you give out such information that is understandable to external people. Answer: because I cannot help but feel humanity. I do not feel mechanical, purely artificial systems created by people, for example, all kinds of financial, banking systems or tricks they pull in business. I cannot feel this mechanics because there is no analogy to them in the spiritual world. But when it comes to the whole of humanity, its nature, and man himself, his aspirations, and problems that need to be corrected, I of course know better than everyone else. Although these problems may not affect me personally, I feel them because I am included together with everyone in a single system. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Problems of Kabbalah, February 18, 2011. What is sex? Question: why is such a thing as sex so hidden? What is sex? Answer: sex is a fusion of two opposite qualities that connect with each other in order to rise to the next level. Initially, sex was conceived in nature as a connection of creation with the Creator. Creation is a feminine principle that wants to receive fulfillment from the masculine principle, from the Creator. And when the Creator gives it fulfillment, this fulfillment develops in the feminine principle and generates their next, mutual, middle stage. The purpose of all creation is to come to such a combination with the Creator. This act of spiritual copulation of the one creation with the one Creator is described in the Song of Songs by King Solomon. Since the state of fusion of creation with the Creator is the highest, it gives the greatest pleasure in our world. Therefore it is said that love and hunger rule the world as two basic instincts. Hunger is understandable to us, it also exists at the animal level. And sex on the animal level exists instinctively in the same way as food does. The animal needs sex and does it according to the program at certain times of year. But man does not, because it is precisely in this that he has free will to come and merge with the Creator. Therefore this feeling in a person is not dictated by nature, but is given to him in perfection so that he can control it himself. Since we are in an egoistic state, we manage it completely wrong. And if a person comes to a spiritual state, then, on the contrary, he begins to correctly control his sexual impulses. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. What is sex? February 27, 2011. Income growth for every third inhabitant of the planet. Comment: the largest trade agreement in history was forged between 15 countries during the pandemic. The main goal of the CEP is to smooth the path of trade among the 15 Asia-Pacific nations and eventually pave the way for a comprehensive free trade zone, in the style of the European Union or the old North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, is a trade pact between 15 nations in the Asia-Pacific region. In total it covers more than 2 billion people, about 30% of the world's population. It promises income growth to every third inhabitant of the planet and gives hope for the revival of world trade and cooperation. The agreement united China and the countries of the Asia-Pacific region, including Australia, Japan, and South Korea. The agreement allows trading partners in Asia to gain access to each other's markets, reduces duties on goods, and improves living standards, especially for the poorest countries in the region. Why not live like this? They set noble goals, however egoistic, but nevertheless, to provide income for people who are poor today, having nothing. Answer: yes, of course, people live badly there. Question: why do all the leaders not rise above their pride, join one union, and start slowly reviving our world, which is falling economically all the time? Answer: I do not think it is possible. I do not even hope that they will have it all as rosy as they write. Someone has to win at the expense of someone who loses. This is our world. Therefore, agreements are agreements, but then politics comes into play, petty egoism, and that is it. Question: so, will we not be able to live normally in this world? Answer: no. We will not. And these good impulses, they are all not really good. The point is, at the expense of what will they win? At the expense of whom will they win? Question: do you think one way or another, I have to suppress someone? Answer: our world is created this way. Comment: they say that these are equal agreements. My response: that is what they always say, mutually beneficial conditions, mutual trade, and the welfare of nations. Question: tell me, please, which union will work? Answer: the one that has a different goal, to lead people to unity, to rise above themselves, above their egoism, above their nature. Otherwise, nothing will work. Question: so, my goal, that I want to give welfare to a third or half of the world's population, to the whole world, will not work anyway. Answer: number question: should there be a goal for the people of the world to be able to unite? Answer: yes. Such a goal is in a state of good balance with the global force of nature, with the general development of mankind. Then, of course, it will work. Question: can you imagine leaders who say, we are now uniting in order to? Answer: they will explain that there is no reception against scrap, one cannot stand against nature. It turns out that going against this basic law of nature is like stepping back on some kind of rake. From this side or from a different side, under some other pretexts, it does not matter. Question: so if people do not change, will they be like wolves to one another or be in competition with one another? Answer: they are initially wolves. And they will not cover it with some good external affairs. This will come out and lead them to something bigger, perhaps, war among themselves. Question: you are saying, if we are wolves, then we cannot achieve anything in this world? Answer: nothing. Only by suppressing each other, only by towering one above the other. We must play on our egoism. Question: whom does the wolf have to become for everything to happen? So that everything will be fine? Answer: he must understand his wolf's nature and also understand that in our time we cannot act in any other way but to become aware of our nature, and together, gradually counter it. It is not easy, but at least we must admit it. Question: what would you advise these leaders in such a situation, in this world? If they were listening to you, what would you say? Start with yourselves? Answer: yes, start with yourself. Explain to each other, and write a general memorandum of your intentions and how you expect them to come true. This is possible only if you move alongside the development of nature so that your development coincides with its development. We see how for millions of years, with humanity it has been for thousands of years, nature develops us, egotistically and at the same time creates such conditions that we are obliged to somehow cope with this egoism, to balance it. And if not, then by war. So, we have no choice but to first understand our nature, what state we are in, and what should be the path of our development, to realize that there must be a rapprochement between us, above egoism. Question: is this your advice to leaders? Answer: yes. To admit that we are all egoists. It is not that hard. But the fact that we must work on it and get closer to each other is already a problem. How can we see ourselves rising above egoism and acting despite it? How can we weaken the egoistic ties between us, and replace them with some altruistic ties, equal, which are based on mutual understanding, on mutual rapprochement? This is not easy. Question: would the law of mutual guarantee, which we are talking about, suit them? Can this be included in the memorandum? Answer: in principle, it is implied that we will act in mutual assistance. Question: mutual assistance to what? Answer: economic mutual assistance, which stipulates global development, so that there is no one at the expense of others anywhere, so that no one suppresses one another. And how is this possible if we are in a closed space, in a closed world? We must initially define for ourselves the norms of our behavior, each relative to all. That is, it is like a group of 15 people who must work out some kind of system to come closer to each other. Question: and if they decided to build some kind of common territory in which everyone will, in general, be happy with this connection, then should they follow these laws? Answer: they must develop the population. They must explain to the population that the future of the world is in the good connection between people, otherwise there will be war, and in our time it can destroy them in a second. A good connection is necessary in order not to lead these 15 countries to a fierce war, in which they have already been each in their own way, but now it can explode in general. So, this commonwealth will split into many different small communities that will start fighting among themselves, pulling the blanket, and that will be the end of it. Comment: that is, this is the aspiration for a good connection. My response: who will lead this good connection? Who will promote it? Who understands what this kind of connection means? Who will counteract the egoistic individual politicians, each of whom, in turn, wants to climb above everyone and sit on everyone's heads? This is the nature of our world. Who leads these countries? The biggest egoists. Therefore, I do not know. Personally, I look at all this, just so it will not all explode. If they do not follow the path of proper education of the population of their 15 countries, then in the end they will see how angry they are at each other, how much their inner egoism does not allow them to be in connection, even slightly, with each other, and eventually a trade war, a political war, will begin, and then the real war. Question: so there is only one way, education? Answer: only education, changing a person. From CAB TV's News with Michael Lateman, January 3, 2022. Until a person matures? Question: for a long time the Book of Zohar was hidden from people, and now some have a skeptical attitude toward it. Well, another book has appeared. How do I explain to them that this is actually a very important book? Answer: it is impossible to explain. Until a person receives a certain amount of blows and matures, there is no way to explain it to him. He will say, "But I don't believe it." Well, don't believe it. You'll learn gradually. Nothing can be done. We see that a huge number of people in our world are engaged in all kinds of nonsense. What can you do with them? Can you approach a person and explain to him, show him, and tell him what the Book of Zohar writes about? He will turn away from you and that is it. But when he gets hit hard, he immediately begins to listen. That is how we are built. From CAB TV's I Got a Call. A New Religion? April 4, 2011. A sensory connection rising from within. Question: you say that over time we will not need an internet connection, but only an internal, sensory one. What is it? Let's say I'm several continents away from you. How will we connect through our senses instead of through Facebook or Skype, for example? Answer: you will not feel the need for an internet connection. You will feel the need to rise from it to a more internal connection with each other. What is the use of me texting you? Because there is an inner desire to be in a closer connection, not virtual, but spiritual, when we feel each other telepathically. We are simply connected by this network. Question: how can we uncover this telepathic network? Answer: it is through desire, through mutual desire. Usually such a desire exists in a mother with a child. She feels what is happening to him because she loves him, strives for him, and wants to feel him all the time. They have an open animal root between them, not spiritual, but animal, because she gave birth to him. At one point he was in her. A little creature was born out of her, and she feels it. Question: how will such a desire be revealed to everyone? Answer: on the account of it rising from within us. It also develops within us. After all, in comparison with inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature, we are developing, and will inevitably have to reveal this connection that initially exists between us, in ourselves. Now it is still manifested on a low level as a connection of hatred, a desire to use each other, but in the end it will manifest itself in a different way. Question: so this is a natural evolutionary process. Will it not depend on the person himself? Answer: no, it will depend very much on the person. Otherwise, if this process goes by the way of evolution, it will be forced and painful, when nature will push us forward with the roller of development as it has been forcing us for millions of years. If we want to go faster, not by the stick toward happiness, but with awareness, then we must understand nature, anticipate its next pressures on us, and help ourselves in this development. It is like an intelligent child who understands what is required of him and performs everything in advance, without expecting punishment. And punishment is not punishment, but simply coercion to correct development. From CabTV's I Got a Call. What is technology? February 27, 2011. The world in physical representation. Question: in the future will there be such a thing as the need to work for existence? Answer: as long as we feel this world, it will remain. But when we rise to the level where we completely fulfill each other spiritually, we will cease to feel the corporeal level. It will gradually move into the next one, the spiritual one. What seems corporeal to us today is felt as such only in our physical representations. If our feelings rise to spiritual ones, then we will begin to feel our world as spiritual. We will see that there was no corporeal world. Therefore, it is called Olam HaMedyum, that is, an illusionary, imaginary world. From CabTV's I Got a Call. What is work? March 29, 2011. Michael Lateman, on Quora: what do you know about the system in which we live? We live in a single global integral system, and it has a specific demand from us. What is its demand? It is that we adapt to its global integral laws. The system we live in urges us to connect to it in a harmoniously interdependent manner, like parts of an analog system. We, on the contrary, act negatively to each other. We prioritize self-benefit over the benefit of others and the whole system. Such an attitude is destructive. It leads to a proliferation of exploitation, manipulation and abuse in our connections, and the depletion of our planet's resources. In other words, we currently want, think and act oppositely to the laws of the global integral system we exist in. Accordingly, we receive myriad negative responses from the system, all kinds of problems and crises on personal, social, economic and ecological scales, from increasing depression, stress, anxiety and loneliness through to various wars and other conflicts, and all the way through to ecological disasters and pandemics. The global integral system we live in responds to our attitudes to it, that is, to our attitudes to each other and to nature in general. We can make of it whatever we like, but we will eventually have to learn how this system functions with total interconnection and interdependence among its parts, its integral laws, and reach the understanding of how to lead harmonious and peaceful lives while living in it. If we do not learn the system's laws, we will then feel increasing negative feedback from it, because the force of protection in the system will always prevail. Based on the video We Live in an Integral System with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman.